Come on.
Welcome to Dave and Mahoney.
I always thought Volvos were German. They're Swedish.
The Swedes make cars?
They've got a great line of hybrids. The XC90 is a great car.
Wait, how the hell do you know so much about Volvos?
Before I bought my car,
You're saying the lady part. I was so confused. How do you know so much about that thing?
Audrey, look through my phone.
If it really is gone off of your phone, that's a huge first step.
he just closed like 7 tabs before he
deleted it right now. He cleaned it.
Dave and Mahoney.
He got arrested because he was caught pleasuring himself. It was around the produce and other unsealed merchandise.
Where do you think the first part of the produce section would be?
For me, it'd be the kumquats.
You don't even know what a kumquat is.
It's a tomato, isn't it?
It was just called a quat before. Okay.
No. This is Dave and Mahoney.
Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. Got some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
So some of you, if you are avid football fans, may remember Chris Smelly. He is a former college quarterback for the South Carolina Gamecocks. He had what is only described as a harrowing experience when he found himself stranded on his kayak in the Gulf of Mexico for over 11 hours.
Ooh.
So he went out kayaking, and he said that strong winds pushed him further and further from shore, making it really hard for him to paddle back. And keep in mind, like, there's a, you know, collegiate level athlete, you know, at a major school. And so, like, you'd think, you know, this guy's a pretty strong guy compared to the average person that's
right.
Walking around. Concerned for his safety, his wife alerted authorities. There was an urgent search that got the sheriff's office involved in Florida. U.S. Coast Guard was out there, wildlife officials. And despite efforts from search helicopters, he remained unnoticed because he had dark clothing and a darker colored kayak. Unfortunately, a friend assisting the search spotted him and brought him back to shore. So even though they got the Coast Guard out there, it's like his buddy. He's in a bass
boat. Dude, they were phoning it in that day. Then his friend just sees him. You're like, all right, there he is. They're like, oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, talk about a scary experience. So he said, despite moments of uncertainty, including preparing to spend the night in the ocean on a kayak, he said he remained resilient and eventually was rescued. So reflecting on the incident, he emphasized the importance of safety precautions before kayaking and said he is very happy with the outcome. So, yeah, scary situation. I'm going to call it a day on kayaking.
Let's just
in
not,
his honor.
Like,
yeah.
Like stand-up paddleboarding, kayaking, especially, like, in vast bodies of water. Hard pass for me.
I'll take one of those little remote-controlled surfboards, though. Those things look pretty cool.
Nah, I'm good on that.
You're good on that, too? So some good news today. I don't know if you guys saw this video. It is wild. I mean, hopefully this guy walked into this convenience store and instantly bought a lottery ticket because it was a crazy scene. So there's security footage outside of this convenience store. And this guy's just walking into a regular convenience store to do whatever he's going to do. And he walks through the front door. And right after he walks through the front door, he kind of looks back. And in that moment, like seconds after he walked in the door, this giant 4-foot concrete sawing blade comes flying across the parking lot. It's rolling like a runaway tire.
I mean, I saw this video.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, that whoever said that's a 4-foot saw blade, they are generous with their measurements. And please, let's hang out.
I mean, that was a big saw blade.
It was a big saw blade. 4 feet is not, I mean, maybe in circumference.
Either way.
But like, not in, like,
terrifying.
Actual length.
It's a blade, man.
That thing for
you.
Sure kills you if it hits you, though. I mean, like, that thing
Well,
was,
even if it was a tire, too. Like, that, like those runaway tires, just, like, crazy-ass accidents. Where did it even come from?
So, I get there was, like, a construction crew nearby, and I guess they were sawing some concrete, and for whatever reason, the blade came flying off while it was spinning, and the thing just took off. I mean, I've never seen a concrete blade go screaming across a parking lot like a runaway tire before.
Yeah, what?
It's a new terror unlocked, for sure.
But this guy managed to survive, and
so now I'm scared of parking lots and tanning beds.
Parking lots, tanning beds,
and
concrete saws.
Log.
Convenience stores. Yeah, all of it.
Log SUVs or log semis.
Anytime I see a log in a semi, I'm like, I ain't
let me get in this
you.
Other lane.
I'm passing illegally.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
So, Mahoney, you're traveling a lot. You're on planes a lot. Audrey, same thing for you. Same thing for me. But have you guys felt any sort of sense of nerves on planes recently because of all of the disasters that continue to happen?
Specifically the Boeing MAX series?
Yeah, I don't
love that, and I fly Southwest a lot. So everybody out here talking trash about Frontier and Spirit, those aren't Boeings. Those are Airbuses. So,
no, you're planes.
You know, the being when I'm on a Max, like I literally changed my flight, you know, for a convenience time, but I went from a Boeing Max 9 to a Boeing 700, and I felt much better being on the much older Boeing 700 than the new Max platform.
Yeah, my my wife and I were traveling recently for her 40th birthday, and she was like kind of nervous, and she's not a nervous flyer or nervous traveler or any of that stuff. She was just like, you know, kept referencing the fact that there had been all these news stories.
Right.
And then she also happened to be reading like a murder mystery book where a woman died on her 40th birthday in a plane crash. I'm like, why are you reading that on the plane? Stop it.
Well, I mean,
it's like
but, but you think about like, I mean, and I get it when there are things that are happening, but like the news picks up on more and there's always maintenance issues and things like that. But I mean, we haven't seen something like this in our lifetime when it comes to planes that are having issues and coming, you know, we saw those Maxes that crashed, unfortunately, a few years ago. Then we just saw the door blow off the Alaskan Airlines flight. And then we saw the casing fly off the engines on another flight, man. So it's like it's in the news and it's and you keep seeing like these reports by, you know, let's say John Oliver. They did a story on Boeing and I watched that and I probably shouldn't have when they're talking to Boeing insiders who are like, I won't get on a Max. That says something to me when they don't know that they're being recorded.
Absolutely.
And they say that.
I've totally co-sign with that. And I think that, you know, we've been talking about Boeing for quite some time. I mean, how many years has it been since Boeing has had like pretty good press? I feel like it's been some time.
They said it's, I mean, like it all basically started when they merged with McDonnell Douglas. And, you know, they have been trading on their good name because they were the industry standard for decades. And now they're not.
Which, I mean, I don't even know how the general public gets, you know, some sort of reassurance, you know, as we're climbing onto these planes. I really don't know what it would take in order to, like, feel like, oh, here's a Boeing plane. I feel comfortable getting on it unless I watched the check happen.
It's going to be years, I think, that I'm not, like, I should not be paying attention to what kind of plane I'm on. I really shouldn't.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to worry about it. This is another incident. Thankfully, it's not the plane falling apart midair, but it's another Alaska Airlines flight. This one from Hawaii to Alaska, and this is a Boeing 737 MAX 9. It happened about 90 minutes into the flight, and the captain had to turn around and go back to Hawaii for repairs because the whole cabin started flooding from the bathroom.
What?
So passengers on board witnessed flight attendants scrambling to clean up the water using paper towels and blankets to soak it up.
In the grand scheme of things that could happen on a flight, I feel like that's, I would rather the flood.
Yeah, no.
You know, the whole door freaking fall off.
Somebody eat some Popeyes before they got on that plane and clogged that bitch up.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what happened, but either way, I mean, what a terrible situation to be. I mean, because that's not a short, easy flight. You know, you're going all the way from Hawaii to Alaska. You're already 90 minutes into the flight and then just poop everywhere. And you're like, oh,
over
man.
The ocean.
I know. I guess a similar incident happened on a United Airlines flight. And same thing, like toilet causing feces to flood into the cabin. That plane had to return to Germany. But yeah, I'm lobbying actively for less mid-air incidents with all planes, and specifically the Boeing 737 MAX 9. Boy, you guys need some good press.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
How do you really feel?
Tell us.
By calling the Dave and Mahoney Show voicemail
at 833-YO-DUMMY.
Yo-Dummy. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Dave and Mahoney. Hey, just really quick, the eclipse that's coming. Was wondering, I know we can't see it with the naked eye, but can we see it through our camcorders, our smartphones? Let me know.
Message deleted.
See what through the eclipse? He's talking about the eclipse. You are asking the wrong guy because I could not care less about eclipses. I know that some people are totally into them. In fact, last time that there was, oh, it was a few months ago or whatever, I was like out for a walk with my kids, you know, a little bike ride with them. And there was like people sitting in lawn chairs in their driveway with their little glasses on, just staring at it. And they're like, as we're walking by, they're like spitting facts. You know, there's not going to be another one of these for like 70 years.
And they say that all the time, then there's always another one.
It's stupid. Look at it. Oh, wow. You can sort of see the sun.
Just don't look at it because then it fries your retinas.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ever want to be blinded, just turn on the flash on your camera and like flip it around towards your eyeballs. I mean, you do that all the time. I'm like, no wonder y'all can't read. You can't see.
Yeah, no kidding.
Your cornea and retinas are literally melted.
But yeah, I mean, if they have special glasses that you can buy online for like $4,
a piece of cardboard and put a pin in it or something. We did in elementary school.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, look, this is so pretty. And you're like, it's just hot. And we're staring at the sun.
We're all idiots, man. Yeah. Please
leave a message after the tone. Hey, guys. I used to be a quite frequent caller, but haven't been so much lately. I was just looking to get some advice from Audrey. I've actually been out of the game for quite some time. I've had to focus all my energy on raising my daughter. So I've been out of the game for about 8 years, and I don't even know what the proper etiquette is these days for approaching someone. I don't know. I'm not even up with the lingo these days. So if I could get any advice from Queen Audrey, that would be really fantastic. Thank you so much. You guys are still the greatest show in the world.
Message deleted.
So I think that the best advice that I could give you, since you're getting back into the game, is that knowing that failure is going to happen. It's just going to happen. And that's because you've been out of the game, and that's okay. You got to get your reps back in.
Yeah.
Everything is practice. Talking to people, going out in public, that is all practice. Going out on dates, depending on, you know, we were just talking about this yesterday. You know, maybe start off with some coffee dates until you get comfortable again. Don't go full swing, you know, and wine and dine if you're not ready for that yet. Just like have some general assessment of where you're at and what you're willing to give, and don't go overboard if you're not up for it.
It also really helps to be super hot and or rich.
Yeah, just don't be ugly. That's the be tall and don't be ugly.
Well, you can be charming. I think that there's a huge, huge wave of women who love charming, funny men, and you might be very just mid of a guy, but you're funny, and that works.
Know where you're at. Like, have some real self
awareness
of like what you look like.
I've seen some really hot people with some really not hot people.
They're rich,
for sure.
No, they're not.
Funny, or they're
you're
charming.
Funny.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of rich people in the world, man. Have you seen it's prices way, of homes?
It's way
and
easier
rent?
To be funny than to be rich.
Right now, yeah, maybe in like the early maybe not in the early 2000s. Has there ever been anybody who's rich?
Yes, there's lots and lots of people who are.
Well, maybe, you know, I don't know. I see people all the time who are, you know, not as shallow as I think that we believe. We're shallow people in this room, but I think that not everyone in the world is shallow.
You would be naive. So,
you've also not been dating for 12 years.
Yes, that's also true. But I'm tall, handsome, and very wealthy.
I'm
fine.
You've also said that if your wife came to her senses and left you, that you would just give up on dating.
I would.
Yeah,
I would not. I would not date.
You just lay down and die.
Well, I mean, I would do other stuff.
Like what, Mahoney? Let's move on.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Yeah, Mahoney, you were describing your outfit, a Tommy Bahama shirt, pink shorts.
Right.
I love that outfit, especially the pink shorts, because real men can wear pink, and you're a real man. Message deleted.
I love color, man. That's one of the things that I did not embrace fully until I was older and more comfortable being fat. And I will say, game changer. You know, I always hated the radio guys who were all about the Tommy Bahama stuff. And here's
it was
the
like
thing.
A caricature. It was like
it is.
Everyone used to when we were, you know, younger in our careers, like 20 years ago, everyone's like, oh, when I listen to you guys, I always think you're older and fatter and like two dudes wearing Tommy Bahama shirts. And now Mahoney has just become that.
Well,
guy.
the problem was I started living the gimmick. Like I became like a heel professional wrestler because I bought one just to be like, this is so stupid. And I knew Dave would bite on it. And starts like I wear a Tommy Bahama in after I went on like a cruise. Dave starts
dude,
coming at me.
You rolled in a Mickey Mouse Tommy Bahama.
Oh, I love that one.
Of course I'm going to give you guff.
Well, and then I started, you know what? I'm like, oh, who's going to give me guff about this? I went out to the Tommy Bahama outlet that day and bought like 10 Tommy Bahama shirts.
Wait,
and then,
all of your, you have, I got 200 Tommy Bahama
now
shirts.
Now I do.
Well, but they're
all
not all Tommy. Got a lot of. Oh,
no,
you have 200 Tommy Bahama.
Well, these are polos, but I have 100 Tommy Bahama shirts.
You bought 100 Tommy Bahama shirts to spite me?
Yeah, But, well, I started living the gimmick, and then I realized how, like, what I was doing was wrong, you know? Like, oh, like, this is...
Because it's not fighting him. You're just buying things.
Well, no. I mean, it's just because I knew it annoyed him, because he's over here. He's,
I don't care.
Did it ever annoy you?
Oh, it did. It did.
Because I was being a good friend telling you you look like a literal clown.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And then I realized how comfortable and generously cut they are, and I fell in love. And from that day forward, I have spent a large portion of my expendable income on silk floral shirts.
So
I'm so confused.
But you got me? Is that what's going on here?
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
You got me.
You're over here.
Ah, Dave, you see.
You're over here.
$70,000 on shirts. Dave. Got you, Dave.
You're over here constrained by a tight black T-shirt. Me over here, I'm living the Cadillac of lives in a loose flowing silk shirt, sir.
Very colorful.
That's right.
You know, it's good that you're not going to date again.
This is the Dave and Mahoney
this
Show.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So we just had the local news on here in the studio, and they're doing a story about some dogs. And Audrey, you just love dogs so much.
I do.
I've always been a dog person myself, but...
Oh, no, not Buttons again.
Oh, the gift that keeps on giving. Would you like to hear the latest installment of what Button did over the course of the weekend?
Button, your mother-in-law's, what is it, a miniature golden doodle?
Multi-poo or something like that.
A multi-poo.
Whatever.
It's got some oodle in it. Something. There's some oodle.
Either way, you know, he's a cute dog. He's just very poorly trained.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he is uninvited at the house. He just shows up with the mother-in-law. And the thing that gets me with Button is that he is a yappy dog and just barks every time.
He's real stupid.
He's a dumb dog.
He's a real stupid dog.
See, small dog barks, though. Irky in a different way than big dog barks.
Well, they do, yeah. And you know, like if the mother-in-law leaves and she leaves Button at the house, he'll just sit at the front door and whine and bark and freak out because he's got separation anxiety and she's never done anything about it. Because, you know, when she's not around him, it's not really her problem anyway.
It's a poodle thing.
Yeah. I love how much of a, like, dominant force we are as humans. My favorite take on this is that we took one of our main predators, you know, in like wolves, which are kind of, you know, pretty close to apex predators, and we've given them anxiety.
you
can't eat, and you can't eat this, and you've got anxiety and separation issues. Like we have, that's how we won.
Hair.
That's how dominant we are as a species.
So over the weekend, to round out the big 40th birthday celebration for my wife, her brother, and you know his family came down from Seattle. And it was a surprise.
Nice.
So when we got back from Cabo, you know, walk into the house, kids are all excited to see her, and then they walk out, and it's this big thing. But they were in town for the weekend.
Did you know they were coming too?
Yeah.
Okay. So you planned that.
I was part of the planning of that. But Button, I don't know why, because he was getting plenty of attention, but maybe not enough attention from my mother-in-law, mm-hmm. also once again decided to act out. And he took a fat crap in our media room. Now, it's pretty dark in the media room.
And there's carpet in there.
There's carpet in there. And my nephew...
Oh, no.
...stepped in it.
Oh, no.
In the carpet.
How old's your nephew?
He's 14. And
dude,
so
that's an adult-sized foot.
Yeah, it's an adult-sized foot. So he, like, goes hobbling into the bathroom where, you know, his stepfather, my brother-in-law, is. And he's like, I stepped in some dog crap. And so my brother-in-law grabs his phone... And he's got the light on his phone trying to find where it is.
No.
He also steps in the dog crap.
Oh, no.
And then he hops with his other foot and steps in it twice. So there's three.
Does he have to, like, crawl?
Grown-ass
like
man. And they're, like, waddling like a platypus back to the bathroom trying to hose off their feet because.
Digging dog poop into the carpet in your media room.
Yeah. Dude, Dave.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you whenever it comes to this. When will it end?
What's the life expectancy of a multi-poo?
Like 14 years.
Okay, so yeah, 14 years from now.
I'd be, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't even know, because you complain about it, but also you do nothing.
Well, this is my therapy. I'm just
okay,
getting it out.
Okay.
And this is, what is
that? This is a welcoming circle for all of complaints. I'm sorry about your media room, Dave. It's going to smell like poop for a long time.
For a long time.
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Warning, the following stories were performed by true redneck professionals.
Do not attempt
unless you married your cousin.
It's the Redneck Report on Dave and Mahoney.
All right, Audrey, I've got two stories for the Redneck Report today, and you get to choose which one you want first. I've got the world's worst girlfriend and the world's worst airboat driver. Which one would you like to hear first?
I don't even know if I know what an airboat is, so I'd like to learn about that one first, please.
Anytime you see a thing on the swamps with the big old fan.
The fan on the
back. That's what those are called? An airboat. I thought those were just big-ass boats with a fan.
Well, so there's a big-ass boat with a fan, an airboat, and the reason why this guy's being called the world's worst airboat driver is because he actually got arrested. He was in the Florida Everglades, and he was captaining the boat and saw an alligator.
Hell yeah.
And the passenger's like, oh, hell yeah, an alligator, because that's what you're there for.
Mm-hmm. That's on brand.
And he went, hey, let's go get a closer look at the alligator. And dumped the boat over, and everyone goes flying into the water because he took too sharp of a turn to go see the alligator.
Oh, no.
And the next thing you know, you're in the water with the alligator. All got eaten.
You say he may be the worst airboat driver or the best? I mean, that's an up close and personal viewing
an experience
of
sure.
the gator.
I really love this, that the passengers became the gators in a way because they all panicked and freaked out and climbed on top of the overturned boat. So it was like an alligator laying on a log because they're just sitting there trying to get out of the water stay away from the gator.
Thank God that gator was full.
I guess.
This is why I stick to modes of transportation that are typical. Like I avoid hot air balloons and I avoid airships for this reason.
Yeah, that's good thinking, my friend.
I do what I can. Stay safe.
A woman from Oklahoma, she is 19 years old, and we have a long-standing philosophy here on the Dave Mahoney Show that any relationship that you're in at 19 years old is trash. Garbage. It's going to wreck you. Mm-hmm. You're going to think that it's the most important thing ever, and in hindsight, you're like, thank God I didn't marry that loser. 19 years old, it's a waste of time.
So what's going on with
this? You're
going
to get cheated on at 19, man.
So this woman at 19 years old was, she was in the unfortunate position of catching her boyfriend texting another woman.
I call that from the paint.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? You're going to get cheated on at 19.
Yeah, the boyfriend was in the bedroom, and he was cheating, texting someone else.
That's cheating.
And sure, could certainly be considered cheating. She took it a bit too far, though.
What did she do?
She stabbed him.
He deserved to get stabbed, man.
What?
Stab. For each text sent.
Did she, with a knife?
Yeah, man, he had two stab wounds. The boyfriend was found in the bedroom closet wrapped up in a blanket because he was bleeding.
What a wimp.
He said the boyfriend stated he was only texting his aunt. She didn't believe him. That was
I don't
stabbing.
Think I would believe it either. Yeah. What do you mean you're texting Popeyes or Pizza Hut? Shut up. Pizza Hut calling at 2 a.m.
It's Jake from State Farm.
I have a personal relationship with Papa John's.
I bet you do.
I call him Daddy.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show. It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So things have gone off the rails for Sean Diddy Combs. Boy, what a mess it is for him. His house, multiple houses, have been raided now by federal authorities, and there are comparisons to his yacht in the Virgin Islands and Jeffrey Epstein's island.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why those comparisons are in place is because he's being accused of, much like Jeffrey Epstein allegedly did, luring victims with the lavish lifestyle that he leads and then engaging in non-consensual assaults aboard yachts in the Virgin Islands. And federal investigators saw enough to this where they raided his homes in L.A. and Miami in connection to the investigation.
And not letting him settle out of court. I think that the receipts, there are names. They have audio. They have video. They have text messages. I mean, and it all kind of started with Cassie, his ex. I think she was his girlfriend. They were never going to get married. But his ex-girlfriend of years, who kind of was the one who settled first and was like, fine, you know what? But her starting this is the snowball effect that I think has brought us to this point.
The crazy thing is, though, I know a person who has a relative who worked with him, let's just say 15 years ago.
Okay.
And they're a dancer, and they're in Hollywood, and they're in New York, and they're into that scene. And
in the early 2000s?
Early 2000s, mid into the early, not quite 2010. So let's just say, 15 years or so, I've been hearing rumors of just malfeasance and crazy stuff that Diddy's into. And they've been saying that this has been going on the whole time. And you're like, before any of the news stories came out and all that,
you're always like, you know, you never know if you want to believe that or if that's just somebody who's heard a rumor.
Well,
but like all of those things that I heard are now starting to like come to fruition. And now you're seeing more and more and more and more. And it all seems very sketchy.
Well, I mean, if you're not really like in the, you know, the hip hop scene and listening to a lot of the interviews from people like 50 Cent or Usher or even Cat Williams as recently as his 3-hour long interview with Sharon Sharp, you know, you're not really partaking Shannon Sharp. You're not really partaking in the gossip that's behind Diddy, right? But I mean, this has the stories behind Diddy have been told, and like Mahoney said, everyone kind of pushes them aside because you have this idea of what you think the celebrity is like because of the way they portray themselves in the music videos and the eyes of paparazzi and just kind of in general, him living this lavish life. And now you're like, wait, hold on. Diddy does party like that? That's really not okay ever, but especially in 2024.
Even the likes of Kristen Cavallari, who was a part of that, you know, MTV bubble back in the day when she was on The Hills, said that P. Diddy was trying
to... When she was a minor!
She was a kid, and he was, like, sending her a whole bunch of roses, and, like, she's not playing the victim card. She's just like, yeah, like, he took a swing and missed with me, but, like, obviously, if he's taking a swing with me when I'm this age, like, there's something potentially to this. It's getting bad for P. Diddy, and it sounds like he deserves it,
TikTok,
honestly.
TikTok, man. Like, if you're... If the accusations are true. And my guess is the government doesn't just raid your house for no reason.
Especially when you're rich.
When you're a billionaire like he is. He is a billionaire.
I will say, I mean, I think that everybody can probably sympathize with this. When I saw his kids handcuffed, I felt my stomach dropped.
No.
I mean, like his kids were handcuffed outside of his Miami home. I mean, like, I feel like that probably was a little bit of a stretch. Like, what are they going to do? Like, they were there. He wasn't there. Why handcuff them?
Yeah.
You know, I did feel pretty bad about that.
But again, the one thing I like about that is that, like, hey, man, let the rich, you know, just because you're rich and privileged, the same thing would happen to me if my house was being raided for, you know, sex extortion or human trafficking. Like, so I wasn't too worried about that, but
that's true, man.
Choppy waters ahead for that man, indeed.
About to hang out with R. Kelly.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Do you have a comment, complaint, or opinion for Dave and Mahoney? Then call and leave a message.
833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I just found out the other day that I guess giving a thumbs up is like the millennials' version of the middle finger. So when people ask me how I'm doing, instead of giving them a thumbs up, I started flipping them off. So they know that, yeah, I'm fine. I mean, isn't that what we're supposed to do now?
Message deleted.
If you are triggered by somebody sending you a thumbs up emoji via text, your life is too easy.
Oh, so
yeah, I'm talking about on the road,
on the
man.
Road, like if somebody cuts you off or you cut somebody off and they're like real mad and you're like,
you're doing real good, bucko.
You know what my wife does? Peace sign.
A peace sign. Wow, that's so passive aggressive. I love it.
And then shows a peace.
It's like, all right, yeah, that's not working. Well, we're choosing violence today.
Which peace do you want?
After the tone.
I just want to know how Dave was leaving for his vacation yesterday, but yet he's there again.
Message deleted.
So it's the magic of social media. Sometimes, like, I'll post things. Like, when I was on vacation, I posted something of us in studio, but we weren't actually obviously in studio. I was on vacation. I had just previously forgot to post that. So I was like, I need to post that. So, you know, we promote the event that we were doing.
It is the illusion.
Sometimes we go on vacation.
Yeah.
You know,
and we deserve it.
And I will say this, though. I am always glad to come back from vacation, though, because I am not good with
change.
Too much. No, not even change. It's just too much downtime. Like, I need one thing a day to do. Like, I can't do more than one thing a day, but one thing a day, because when there are days where I have literally nothing, because there was a couple days where my wife was working and I had literally nothing to do, that I should not be left alone by myself.
You don't make good decisions for yourself?
Nah, man, I'm just...
Is that the day that you went day drinking and ate 4 pizzas?
He was texting me. He was like, hey, got you a growler. And I was like, what the heck?
Nobody
I'm like,
is...
I appreciate it, but what the heck is happening? I knew you were feeling yourself.
You know, there is nobody who I hate more
than me, who's being social and drinking and charming and like looking to make like
you're the most fun
You're a blast. But the problem is that I mean I know you well enough now where if you make plans with me, even one drink in, and I'm like, that's not happening. But Mahoney's like, we need to do this more often. We need to plan a trip. We need to, like he's got big ideas.
Trips.
He's got big ideas. I mean, whenever he's drinking.
I mean when I'm out and I'm engaging in social situations, I try to take full advantage of them.
Uh-huh.
But leading up to that, there is nothing but just absolute positive dread.
You're so funny, too, because your social cap, I mean, I get that sometimes, you know, like, you need to recharge because I'm that type of person as well. But your social cap really does end at 1 p.m. like every day. Like, and you have to go and hibernate for the rest of your day. We were out doing an event yesterday and we were like, hey, do you want to go get tacos? And you were like, absolutely not. Like, I'm not going to do that because I'm socially capped.
It was past lunchtime. I mean, like 1 p.m. Like if we can get lunch between 11 and 1, like I need a lunch buddy. But like, here's the problem. Like, nobody has those kind of hours besides us, and you guys are already sick of me by the time that time rolls around.
I could never be sick of you, Mahoney.
Me either.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So, Dave, you complain about your mother-in-law and dog coming to town. Do you have to deal with the mother-in-law and sister-in-law coming to town and visiting us all the time? So I'd rather take the dog pooping all over the place than the 40-something-year-old sister-in-law that lives at home and never moved out her whole entire life coming to visit. So, you have to deal with that. So, I feel you, bro. But I think you have it a little bit better than me with the dog instead of the other sister-in-law. All right, bye.
You ever wonder, dude, we're just comparing battle wounds at this point. Like,
let me show you my scars.
I mean, so, but Dave, think about this, though, because that's not, like, super uncommon, like, that children live at home until they're 40. Could you imagine any one of your, I mean, statistically, you've got four kids, one of them living with you until they're 40?
Let me ask you this.
No.
Do you think there will be one who will live with you longer than the rest?
I think that there's definitely,
too young, I think. I mean, we got
to see their personalities?
Yeah, seeing their personalities. I think that there's at least one that would want to, but nope. Same thing happened to me.
You're going to kick him out.
Out in the real world. Good luck.
You're such a sucker. You're such a softy. You are such a sucker.
You're such a...
You live with me forever.
I won't even do that with my mother-in-law and rotten dog.
This is David Mahoney.
I made a critical error yesterday. So after the show, we went and did our charity event, and we went to the local food bank, but the whole thing at the food bank was that we were going to be actively working for a couple of hours, and we're going to be packing boxes for people in need, and there was seniors that were having boxes packed for them and families, and it was a great experience overall.
So how did you make an error, Dave?
Well, so after the show, we wrapped up, and I was like, man, I'm pretty hungry, and I know that we're going to be working for the next couple of hours, and I should probably get a little something to eat.
Oh, no, you didn't.
And I told Audrey this yesterday when we arrived at the food bank. I went to Arby's and got a very reasonable half-pound roast beef sandwich.
You got the large sandwich?
Yeah, I got the large sandwich and three horsey sauces.
What are you doing?
Yeah, and I put them all on there. I was hungry, and I was thinking with my stomach, and it was probably a mistake. But, again, I knew that I wanted a snack, and I just saw an Arby's that was right there, and... full disclosure, I'd been to that Arby's the previous time that we had done something at that food bank, so I knew it was pretty good.
Dave, like, it's better to, like, have a fasted workout anyway. Isn't that what they say?
Sure.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's what I was telling myself and why I did not...
You're doing fasted cardio yesterday.
Why I did not want to eat, because we had an hour between the show ending and before the event started.
Right.
And only about a 20-minute drive.
Yeah, so there. I had plenty of Arby's time.
Sure, but man, like, we are working... And packing boxes. I mean, we packed 3,000-plus boxes or 4,000 boxes yesterday. And you're pounding down a half pound of roast beef?
Well, I knew I was going to burn some cows during the workout, so I figured it kind of evened out.
I have known you for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And I generally consider you to be a smart man.
Uh-huh.
This may be the dumbest thing that I have ever heard you do. Uh-huh. I am astounded and flabbergasted at this level of... just recklessness.
Well, honey.
I'm not normally even like a big fast food person.
You're not.
And I actually plan to bring a banana with me to hold me over. But instead of a banana, I went half pound of roast beef and curly fries.
So
Mahoney, I literally was tapping on his window whenever, because we pulled up at the same time, and I even left the station well after you.
Yeah.
So we pulled up at the same exact time, and I tapped on his window, and he's like dabbing off his mouth from the the Arby's he had just eaten.
And I got some horsey sauce on my jeans.
So you did?
You sure that was horsey sauce?
Unfortunately, yes.
So you didn't even like go right. You didn't even leave a window for like a bathroom break there, because I mean, I can understand, like, you know, with an hour you go, you hit that Arby's, and then you have a 20 minute grace period, but you went straight from the car slamming a half pound of roast beef into the food bank to pack boxes.
Were you prairie dogging at our event, man?
No. Okay. So it was actually much worse, and this is why I say that it was such a treacherous situation, is that after I pounded down this half pound of roast beef and ate my curly fries, I'm talking to Audrey about, you know, how much I enjoyed it as I'm kind of waddling into the food bank.
Mm-hmm.
And we get inside the food bank, and, you know, everyone has to, like, go through the process. You fill out a little waiver and stuff and do the whole thing. And all of a sudden, my stomach just turns, and I was like, oh, no.
Were you farting at our event, man?
No. And so I'm
all
like,
over those boxes?
Like, I kind of get that, like, little sweat. And as you guys, because you know me very well, I am a closet pooper. I don't want anyone around, even if I'm at home. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, that's a process.
And we had a couple hundred people there with us volunteering.
Meeting you for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm kind of getting that cold sweat, and I just feel the stomach kind of go, and I'm like, I can't spend.
Oh, my God. I actually got so concerned because I did not know that was about to happen. I thought that was really you in this moment.
And so I'm starting to kind of sweat a little bit, and I'm, you know, there's all these people around, and I, like you said, Mahoney, people that were meeting for the first time. There's 150 volunteers that are there. It's a big event, and I look down at my watch, and I have got 4 minutes before the event starts. Now, bear in mind, at the start of the event, they're going to bring us up on stage, and we're going to say a couple of words to kind of kick everything off. So, like, there's no just sort of like
downtime.
Yeah, and so I'm like, I've got 4 minutes. I went into the bathroom, and I took care of business. But there was several of our listeners in there that I had never met before. And I hate it. I mean, I can't tell you how much I hated this. I just kind of sheepishly walk into the stall.
Oh, no.
I'm like,
and they watch you
go
in.
Noises?
It wasn't as bad as I thought. But I had to take care of business.
Did you do a courtesy flush?
Yeah, I had to. Oh,
my God, Dave.
It was not great.
Was anybody trying to talk to you through
this? No.
Did you avoid those people for the remainder of the time?
I did.
They avoided him.
That's exactly what it was.
Want to shake his hand.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Dave and Mahoney present.
Fast food freakouts.
Shut up and listen to my order.
Jim is joining us today for a round of fast food freakouts, and you are surrounded, Jim, by the world's leading fast food forensic experts. I mean, Mahoney, you have been a master at this game for years.
Dave, I have been to no less than 42,107 McDonald's internationally in my travels.
And even though Audrey doesn't make her whole personality the fact that she goes to McDonald's, you're also very good at this.
I do be Taco Bellin'.
Jim, what is your favorite fast food restaurant, just for reference?
I like McDonald's.
McDonald's, yeah. It's hard to go wrong.
Perfect straw. Nobody talks about how perfect the straw is in a McDonald's
and
Coke.
And they never went paper. They never sold out.
Right. They were trying to fake the funk.
When there was a war on straws, McDonald's stood their ground, and they said, screw them sea turtles.
We're built on plastics, including our food.
All right, Jim, here we go. So we're going to play you some audio of some real-life freakouts. You're trying to pick up on the little clues in the audio to try to figure out which fast food restaurant it happened in. Mahoney already has his hands on the side of his ears. He is focused on this.
You're so dramatic.
This first
Dave,
one.
You don't become the world's leading fast food forensic expert by not caring. I care.
All right, Jim, here we go. This guy is losing his cool because they're telling him that they don't have the combo meal that he is ordering, so he actually goes behind the counter and heads for the kitchen to figure out why.
I order the same mother every time I come in here. A two-piece and a big...
All right, Jim, here are the options.
Based upon the beeps.
Mahoney doesn't
and
want
the
any.
Amount of people in that facility, that's Popeyes.
Okay, well, Popeyes is on the list. It's either A, Carl's Jr. / Hardee's,
nope.
B, Popeyes,
yep.
or C, In-N-Out.
Is not In-N-Out.
No, and nobody goes inside of a Carl's Jr. because I think people don't even realize that they still exist, even though
they are good.
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 That's a Popeyes.
All right, Jim, so they're both saying Popeyes with, I mean, you guys seem very sure of it. What do you say, though? You get the final choice.
I'm going to go with Popeyes, too.
That is correct.
100%
that's
correct.
Of course it is. Good job, Mahoney.
Why do so many people go into Popeyes?
Because you're never going into a KFC. There's not that many people working inside of a Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I know.
There's just
every
not.
Every time that I see a fight in a Popeyes, there's always a crowd around.
Hey, man, sometimes that chicken, you just want that spicy-ass chicken from Popeyes.
Just like people go inside McDonald's, I feel like Popeyes is one of the last ones where it is deemed okay to enter.
I was shocked the last
Chick-fil-A.
Time I ate inside
people
of a McDonald's.
Going inside of Chick-fil-A.
The entire McDonald's, every seat was taken the last time I ate. And I mean, granted, it was around dinner time, but every seat was taken.
Was it around dinner time in 1987? What
no,
are you talking
this was
about?
No, this was a couple months ago really? When I didn't want to bring it home and let my wife know that I was doing that. So it's like having a McDonald's affair.
He's having this sordid affair, and it's just him plowing through his second Big Mac.
A 20-piece
McNuggets.
He didn't
want the smell to remain in the car.
Like, yeah. This is so much better than sex.
I get sweet and sour sauce on my collar. Oh, God,
I've been caught.
You're a mess.
All right, here we go to number two. You can actually win it right here if you get this one right. A customer is upset because he has to use the new self-ordering kiosks, so he decides
Fair.
To go off on a political rant.
Fair.
Okay.
We got the stupidest self-serving politicians in the world. Okay. They just hacked into my bank account and hacked millions of dollars, thousands of dollars out of my account. And you're so proud.
Mm-hmm.
Because our politicians can't figure out locals only. Those people are just that far behind us. And you're too busy worrying about your great life to figure out why we're losing.
All right. Is
I
that,
mean, I agree with the man.
Is that A, a KFC?
No.
B, a Jersey Mike's?
No.
Or C, a Taco Bell?
There's not a single place in the country where you have a non-employed Taco Bell. You are not getting an AI to run over Taco Bell.
So
you're just not.
I will say I do have a bit of a blind spot to Jersey Mike's. I have not been inside of a Jersey Mike's in a hot minute, but I cannot imagine a Jersey Mike's having a self-serve kiosk.
And they actually started something new at Jersey Mike's. All their employees look just like Danny DeVito.
I
was
that.
Just in Wonderful. A Taco Bell, and you're not wrong. Or yeah. not a Taco Bell, a Jersey Mike's, and yeah. I also was just yeah. in a Taco Bell. But you're
I
not
have,
wrong, Dave.
I have never seen a self-serve kiosk at a KFC either.
Any of these places.
And it's the echo in there screams of a Taco Bell. It's not busy.
Okay.
The echo. If I'm making a educated guess on this, I am going with... That is a self-serve kiosk inside of a Taco Bell.
If okay. it is, though, so many substitutions and things that you would be changing at a Taco Bell that I feel like there's so much room for error.
I mean, you figure it out. You know, you run through those self-serve kiosks, man, me at McDonald's, it's like typing 60 words a minute.
Get some free stuff out
60 there? Nuggets a minute.
Audrey, any final thoughts?
I am nervous, but I'm going to go with the leading forensic fast food expert here. I'm going to tag team off of Mahoney, even though I feel like that would be the worst
this is tough.
AI experience ever. So I am, again, going to double down. I agree with this man.
Okay, Jim, you can win it right here if you get this correct.
Yeah, that's for sure a Taco Bell.
For sure a Taco Bell. For the win, for you sure. are correct.
That's how we do it, Jim!
I love when somebody wins this game because you know,
it's Jim, Mahoney's game.
Jim has just won, but really, this was all Mahoney's victory.
Jim, thanks for being here, Jim.
Yeah. But this was really Mahoney. For Mahoney. Yeah.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Oh my God, with you people, shut up.
Dave and Mahoney.
So it's become a thing on social media now where there are people, multiple women, that are getting punched in the face by men while they're walking in New York City. And it's so weird to me, like, how this is happening because they're documenting it on social media, and they're saying a lot of them are being targeted because they're just walking in New York and they're on their phone a lot of times.
Looking down.
Looking down, and then some guy will come up and just sock him in the face. But then their first instinct
so messed up.
Is always to be like, hey, you guys, I just got punched in the face.
No, they're like sobbing with a giant welt on their head.
I know, it's crazy, but they're getting on social media and documenting it, like, normally.
It is really, like, from an outward perspective, it's like, what do you mean there's a serial puncher on the loose?
Is it just one person? Is it multiple people that all got together and decided to punch people as they're walking down the
street? This is an epidemic that's been going on for quite a while. Remember when Rick Moranis
got
punched and there was a guy, there was a couple other people in New York a few years back who were running around just randomly knocking people out. I mean, so this isn't anything new. It's just unfortunate that now that it seems like they're specifically targeting women in this because you're a little bitch, you know, and you're obviously trying to go after somebody who you think that you are stronger or there's not going to be any repercussions for. But, I mean, the one that kind of shocked a lot of people was that Bethany Frankel was one of the ones who came out and said that this had happened to her as well. And Bethany Frankel? From Real Housewives of New York.
Wait, like obviously, in the past or right
like
now?
Recently, like a couple months ago. And, you know, obviously she has a huge business empire. She, you know, the Skinny Girl margaritas and all of those alcoholic brands.
She's
like hundreds of millions of dollars. The thing that kind of shocked me on that was that she didn't have security with her, considering how you know, famous she is and how rich she is on top of that. But if it could happen to her, it could literally happen to anybody.
See, I'm wondering if, because you guys are talking about how this has been a thing in New York for a while, if Bethany Frankel's account is the same as... Because this has been in a span of like a week. 10 women punched in the face within a week time frame, right? So I'm wondering if it's the same serial puncher or not. Because
or if people are seeing these other TikToks and then is jumping on there and unfortunately perpetuating the problem that's already happening. Man,
one girl was walking her dog and said that the guy who punched her was also walking his dog. And she was, like you said, Dave, looking down at her phone. And he hit her so hard, she passed out and like woke up, came to, and was like, what in the world just happened to me?
That's crazy.
Which I'm like, is your dog okay? Like, did your dog run away?
Are you okay? Right. I mean, if you're somebody that's going to go around punching strangers in the face, if you get caught and convicted, they should chop off your hands.
Yep.
Like, what are you doing walking around hitting people? And if you're going to hit somebody, you got to hit them with a nub now. That is just so... I mean, it's just one more thing that you have to worry about.
New York is a weird place right now, man. I mean, what is happening? Well, in New York City proper, right? I mean, like, what do you mean you've got serial punchers and have for years? Because
crazy.
Rick Moranis, his punch was during COVID.
And it was like, it was broad daylight and everything else. Like, we saw the video of it. It's just so weird and totally unacceptable. Also kind of strange that some of these girls are, like, getting online and they're like, hey, you guys, I just want to let you know I got punched in the face. You're like, what?
It's a warning.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get why they're doing it.
You got to keep your head on a swivel, literally.
Dave and Mahoney. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Dave and Mahoney.
I don't know what this is all about. You just told me to call you a dummy.
There's nothing you can say they haven't heard before. Leave us a message by calling 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You guys think it'd be a dream or a nightmare to work at Costco?
Message deleted.
I mean, I know a couple people that work at Costco, and they seem to really enjoy it.
Everybody I know who's worked there, you know, if they're there for more than a couple years, seem to make it a career. You know, I mean, it's also a good seasonal job. But I was at my Costco this past weekend, and I saw something that I have never seen before at a Costco, and I saw a woman who had a gold name tag, and she had a pin with like three, like a gold pin on top of that.
She's like a Costco general?
She was. She had been, like, apparently was like started working for Costco right when they became a company, and I think it was like 1983 or 1984. So anybody, if you see a gold badge, which I'd never seen at Costco, that is 40 years, or it's 30 or 40 years
of service.
And you must instantly kneel before them and kiss their ring.
So Mahoney, from like a not actual perspective of like good job with benefits, like, do you think though, because you are an avid, I mean, you're a rope drop guy, you're there every single Saturday at like 6:30, 7 a.m. Do you think though, like many things, whenever you pull back the curtain, do you think that it would ruin Costco for you?
I dated a girl who worked at Costco many years ago, and I went to one of their Christmas parties, and Costco like rented out a bomb ass like room or, you know, events place at a super nice golf course. And they had like 300, 400 people, whoever
working there.
And cocaine it was, everywhere, right?
And cocaine everywhere. Yeah, yeah. You know, they had they, like
Costco
they had,
Coke.
They had little people with the samples, and they were just passing it out there as well. And
bought in bulk.
You just had a little black membership card.
Yeah.
But everybody I know who's worked there for a significant amount of time seems to like it. But I think if you like busyness, that would be the place. But if you
does
like
help the time go by fast, right. I imagine. Pandemonium.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Fuck you, Mahoney. You stupid bitch.
Ow! Message deleted.
They got a whole group of people together to say F you. That was nice. You want me to run it back for you?
I got your phone number. I'm going to call you at 3 a.m. when I wake up.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, love the show. You guys are doing a great job. It's young Audrey and those two old guys on the side. It's like Punky Brewster meets Cocoon. But young Audrey, my question for you is, you know, what lessons have you learned sitting next to Sattler and Waldorf there?
Message deleted.
What lessons have I learned? First of all, thank you so much. I am very young. I am the youngest person to ever live currently.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I think
you're getting
that
younger. You're not getting older.
Dude, I'm getting so young every day. I think that one of the things that I have learned is that 4 p.m. dinners are okay.
No, preferred.
Preferred.
Yes.
They are everything.
You cannot. I sometimes have to go to a place and wait for happy hour to end so I can order the dinner that I want. And I love that.
But then 4 p.m. dinner doesn't mean that that's the only dinner. There's also a second dinner.
I get mad when a restaurant doesn't open until 5 p.m. That's not a restaurant I want to eat at.
What do you mean 5 p.m.?
5 p.m.? No. Like, oh, your fancy-ass steakhouse? Nope. Too fancy for me if you can't open before 4 p.m.
And 10 p.m. dinners, 9 p.m. dinners, even 8:30 p.m. dinners, those aren't your real friends.
No.
That's
no,
like, don't invite me to a 9 o'clock dinner. If you invite me to a 10 p.m. dinner, that's like slapping my mom across her face in front of me. That is the same thing to me.
Open-handed or backhanded?
Both.
Dave and Mahoney.
Blitz, glamour, and out-of-touch celebrities.
Well, that's redundant.
It's Pop Trash.
I'm Dave and Mahoney.
So they have started the promotion. Tulsa King 2 is now underway as far as the production of it, and I say, meh.
I mean, was anybody pining for 2 or
I
one?
I guess it was, like, very popular, but I tried so hard to get into it. Like, I'm a big fan of Taylor Sheridan. I actually think a lot of the shows on Paramount Plus are really well done, especially when it comes to kind of like the action drama type of shows.
Yeah.
But man, Sylvester Stallone just comes off so corny in The Tulsa King. I just can't deal with it.
I think that he is definitely typecasted. And I think it's kind of hard seeing him in anything other than Rocky for me, especially when at the same time you're doing Tulsa King and also have your own reality TV show, you know, talking about your daughters and your life with your wife. Like, I just feel like it's kind of hard for me to discern where the authenticity is for who he is and as an actor. It just isn't really there for me, so I'm kind of out.
It's really interesting to see that CBS has kind of become the dumping grounds for shows that have aired in their totality on streaming platforms, because that's happening with this too. The first season of Tulsa King is going to air on CBS this summer.
Okay.
I mean, CBS used to be the one that had a lot of really good high level original programming, and now it's being developed in other places. And then if it's a hit, much like we saw with Yellowstone, then it makes its way to CBS.
Yeah, you know, it's a weird way that they're producing and distributing shows now, but I mean, with the cost of some of these shows and the cost of the streaming apps that a lot of these networks are incurring, it doesn't surprise me that if you do have a hit like Yellowstone or Tulsa King or what is the mayor of Kingston, Kingstown, whatever, yeah, that'll end up making its way to CBS at some point, because, I mean, we can only watch so many episodes of NCIS or Young Sheldon.
Young Sheldon got a pop, weirdly enough.
It just finished. I think this is the last season or the last season. Just finished, but I think there's going to be another Sheldon spinoff.
Because of how successful that, I mean, it really is funny. You hear about, like, takes 10 years to make something sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that for these shows like Young Sheldon and, you know, in the case of things like, you know, Yellowstone, it was already 4 seasons in before it really kind of popped for me personally.
Suits?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the comeback with that one, you know?
Yeah. So we'll see.
So Andy Cohen has stepped in big time, has come out and issued an apology after fueling some pretty wild speculation about Kate Middleton and her health following her cancer diagnosis.
Well, but everybody's sensationalizing this because now it's cancer. Literally everyone was coming for Kate Middleton's neck.
Yeah, I know, but like...
We didn't know she had cancer.
But I mean, like,
stop. We had no idea she had cancer.
But that's the problem, is like when you're going after her and then she does have cancer.
Everybody was joking about her having a BBL. I get it. We all feel bad now because we know she had cancer and we all are like, oof, that's really gross that we made her come out and, you know, talk about her cancer diagnosis. But no, the entire internet was sitting here making jokes about it. And now we all are like, oh God, I can't believe that she has cancer.
Well, the other crazy thing is the other side of the internet that actually doesn't even believe that, that they think that this is a cover up for something even bigger because cancer is the one thing that you can't talk about and that will shut people up. So there's conspiracy theories all abound. I don't think there was any malice. It's, I mean, Andy Cohen deals with the housewives and gossip, and that was part of
the gossip,
the discourse at the time. So yeah, it's unfortunate, but you know, I don't
think everybody go, oh my bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys saw that Lizzo quit the entertainment industry as a whole on Friday, and then she, much like Jesus, came back 3 days later to announce her new swimsuit line.
Well, she was, but which is so weird because she's been kind of promoting this like secretly throughout the whole process, and then on Friday she quit, and then she's still promoting the swimsuit line because I think she's contracted in. And I'm not sure if they go hand in hand. So I think she's quitting music, not necessarily like she just has a line that's coming out.
Which is crazy because she's actually a very talented musician. But my favorite meme is, turns out she is not 100% that bitch.
Right? I don't know. You can't sit there and bully people for the way they look.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of...
I mean, she's also dealing with a lot of other outside things with the lawsuits from her dancers. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's swirling around here. So, I mean, taking a step back...
That's what I mean. She's right in a lawsuit because she has been bullying the people that are her dancers for the way they look.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about the public and her.
She's guff from people, but then at the same time, like, hang on, are you the a-hole?
Yes.
You
know, like... It's like the Spider-Man meme.
For sure.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
You know the songs, but can you name them when they sound this bad?
Just me! Why not get this guy?
It's Cover Your Ears on Dave and Mahoney.
Nicole is joining us today for a round of Cover Your Ears. Nicole, you ready for this one? It's not easy.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm born ready.
All right. The first one here is elusive. Like I said, it's only got one view on it, which is hard to imagine that you would spend all of this time making a cover song, upload it, and then not go back and even watch it.
Well, dude, they made it, Dave. They don't need those. They don't need.
That's
do you?
Sad.
Do you listen to every show we make?
Of course. Numerous times. Yeah,
do
for
you?
Sure.
I watch tape.
All right, Nicole, good luck. 30 seconds on the clock. Let the full 30 seconds play out before you make your guess. You do have some lifelines if you need them. Here we go with number one.
I met love in the sky. You say I'm a dreamer.
Oh.
We're two of a kind.
So easy.
Both of us searching for some perfect world we know we'll never find.
Right there, Nicole, did I hear you say so easy?
Oh my God, yes, I'm an 80s baby. This is Hold Me Now by Thompson Twins.
Yes, it is. Full point. Well done. Yeah, that one came out in 1984. Well,
I was not expecting a second voice on that.
I wasn't either.
I wasn't either.
So now, not just one person, Dave. There were two people who were involved in the making of that song and still one view.
Go back and rewatch.
And honestly, not as bad as I expected. I thought for zero views on the internet, it wasn't as bad as I thought. Mm-hmm. All right, the next one here, only 104 views, 30 more seconds on the clock. Here we go.
Comes already over the
It was hard to pinpoint what was wrong with that cover because everything.
It's accurate.
You think it's accurate?
That part was.
Okay. Nicole, do you know that one? Not that easy. I mean, I'm a big fan of that song, but yeah.
Is it Pearl Jam?
You're close.
Close. It is Eddie Vedder.
It's Eddie Vedder, but they did a collaboration back in the day
with somebody else.
You also can tap
Hunger Strike.
Hunger Strike by?
Yes. Hunger strike.
Yeah, hunger strike.
Yeah, she got it.
I was going to say, you could use a lifeline at any time, too, but she didn't even need it.
She pulled it through. Two for two.
Great job.
We knew you'd get there on that one. Dude, I love that song.
I was born for this contest. Yeah. I was born for this.
You're born ready and for this contest.
So you got two full points, which means I'm going to take away your lifelines.
Oh, Dave is such a mean.
I don't think you need them.
Oh,
no. I don't think you need them anymore. Unless you need one, then we'll give you one at the very end. Okay. The next one here, 117 views on this one, but you can win it right here if you get a full point. Here we go. Shockingly, that's the most popular one of the day at 117
Not
views.
Not enough views, man. That was a banger.
Nicole, for the win, do you know it?
Safety dance, man, without hat.
Man, you were born for this.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Okay, there are some things that are inherently funny, and I think that this is one of them. I know some people are going to disagree with this, but in Utah, there's a man, his name is Anthony. He was filming a video, and you know, like a lot of younger guys do, they'll be filming a video, and they'll go, hey, I want to get a good, genuine laugh for this video, so I'm going to do something that's maybe a little bit over the top. We've seen a lot of prank videos over the years. You know, there's even like some couples that make a living off of doing that, where, you know, the other one walks in the room and a balloon full of goo falls on them and they hit him with the confetti afterwards.
Prank wars.
And so this was, I think, kind of in that same vein. He decided that he was going to shoot his best friend.
Oh, that seems like a rational and normal thing for somebody to do.
Yep. And killed him.
Oh.
Yeah. No.
Yes. Yeah. He was described as being genuine and funny. But he thought that he was going to make everyone laugh in this video by
shooting. The shooter was described as genuine and funny?
No, the guy that got killed, unfortunately. He said that he'd just become like a new father and everything. I was like, really sad story, but like, we've got to get a hold on the internet. And I know that that's really hard to do, but like, there are some things that any logical person would go, that's not a great idea. And unfortunately, one young man lost his life because his friend was trying to get a genuine laugh by shooting him in the chest.
Oh, because that's how, you know, we go for hits these
days.
How
we get the likes. That's how you get the people smashing the subscribe and the like button and the
people's
share.
Frontal lobes just are not, like, they're not forming anymore. I'm pretty sure the internet has just melted it away. Like, people are just so stupid. What do you mean? In what world would you have ever even thought that shooting not only would have given you the likes or the clicks in a positive way ever, but also that you thought that was funny? I mean, first and foremost. But
also,
I mean,
the likes,
you would have gotten flack for that regardless.
The likes and the clicks very rarely amount to any sort of money anyhow. So what are you doing, man? I understand that there's clout chasers, but the idea that you're now probably going to spend the majority of your life in prison because you killed your friend when you were trying to get a laugh?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Let's just be better. Let's be better.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
I got a message for you.
Leave a message for the Dave and Mahoney Show anytime by calling 833-YO-DUMMY. That's 833-963-8669.
Did you get that?
Please leave a message after the tone.
Did any of you ever have a problem with high school bully? And where are they now?
Message deleted.
I mean, almost all high school bullies end up in a terrible spot because if you're the sort of person that's going to be like going around and getting violent with kids in high school or junior high, like, that's not going to lead to great things. There was one kid. His name is Devin. He looked like Buzz, the older brother from Home Alone, you know, just like redheaded buck teeth. Like, he was just
also a bully in actual real life.
Devin and I actually got into a fight one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I socked him in the nose and made his nose bleed. And he had to claim the next day at school that when he gets nervous or excited, his nose just naturally bleeds.
Oh, man, I bet you were riding on that high.
I was, and he is in jail now.
Well, that worked out pretty well.
You are the victor there. There's a guy who I went to school with. He's got a very recognizable and easy to spell name, unique name, have you. And he recently became a realtor. And so he's doing good for himself.
That's great.
You know, doing better than he was over the last few years. Had some rough years after, you know, choking out my friends and, you know, being like several years held back several years in just being a physically bigger person than everybody around us.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, using that to his advantage to wreak terror down upon people. So now he's a realtor, and I don't know why, but he's been getting a lot of leads lately.
Stop it.
No,
I don't know.
You're
I don't
not.
Know why. I mean, it's
Mahoney,
like,
you're the most spiteful man I know.
You're like so 25 I mean, years removed from this poor kid, and now he's getting—he's chasing down all these.
I'm
hot
so
leads.
Proud of him. He got his real estate license, man, and he's got all of these inquiries.
We gotta get Mahoney
in.
More duties.
I wonder why.
You're too bored.
But I'm real proud of him. Things are gonna go real well, man.
You are a monster.
You're so silly. Like, I mean, like what? How does that fuel you? Like, in what way do you feel good about yourself after you give this guy?
I feel so good. Because when somebody does you wrong like that, mm-hmm. and they don't have, like, a history of, like, family issues or whatever, you're just a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
Like, I have no problem sending it right back. Because why would I ever let it go? Like, I mean, that's...
Yeah, why, Mahoney? Why would I ever let it go?
Because it's been 25 years and you've had a good life and you're successful.
Dude,
and
I'm sitting, like, especially like right now with my wife, you know, living in another house, me living alone right now. I got a lot of free time late at night on my hands. I will tell you, sending stuff like that, doing things like that late at night brings me no... I can tell you it's a tremendous amount of entertainment and joy.
I can
literally see the joy on your face
it's
right
like
now
Christmas.
Just talking about it.
It's like there's nothing that like, I have like literal goosebumps right now thinking of how much I enjoy just, you know, because he doesn't know who it's coming from.
You can't wait to get home and send him another lead.
That's right.
Dave and Mahoney. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So Mahoney, as an avid cruiser, I would imagine that you're going to have an opinion on this story. There is a couple from South Carolina.
Sir. Professional.
Oh, a professional cruiser.
Avid is for now, amateurs.
I think for to be a professional cruiser, you'd have to get paid to
I
go
I have
cruising.
Been paid to go cruise
before. You know
what?
You're right. You sure have.
That's right, sir.
And that's what lured you into cruising.
And every cruise is a business expense because we talk about it on the radio.
You are so funny that you out yourself on this. Like,
is it not? I'm an influencer.
Are you?
I am.
Who are you influencing?
You don't
myself?
Post on social media, man.
Bet. Go look at my Instagram. Out of the 6 pictures I have, 2 of them are Disney cruise.
Actually, that's facts. That's facts. That's facts. I've tracked.
33% Audrey.
That is the one thing that he authentically posts on social media.
Literally. But I apologize, Mahoney.
Thank you.
So this was not a Disney cruise. This was a Norwegian cruise.
Which are good, too.
But a South Carolina couple, Jill and Jay Campbell, along with 7 other passengers, including some Americans and Australians, have been stranded off of the coast of Africa on a small island after their cruise ship just left without them.
Well, Dave, this happens, man, and I know they're playing the sympathy card
you
here
know
because
when you're supposed to get back on
because
boat.
Unfortunately, one of the women is I think she's in a wheelchair.
Well, there's another guy that has like a heart condition as well.
Sure,
and all that. You know that you have all of these things but that are very important for you to get back on that boat. Then get back on that boat.
So before we fully victim shame here, they were with a guided tour,
an unsanctioned tour that you did not book through the cruise line.
They went on this tour and there was a delay with the tour company.
And that happens.
And it does happen. And that's why you should probably do one that
you book
works
it,
with the cruise
you,
company.
You're looking to save some money and then you book a tour with something because there's many reasons maybe, but primarily it's because the money, they're much cheaper if you book through a provider who's not licensed with that cruise. Like a Disney cruise, Dave. I book all my excursions through Disney. So if there is a delay when I am out on my excursion because there's a landslide or there's something else, Disney will take care of it and the boat will wait or they will make sure that I get back on that boat. But if you do that without, they drill that into your head.
Before you even get on the boat, man.
Like, it sucks.
There's a problem with the tour company. So
yes.
They're freaking out because they know that they're going to be late. They said that they tried to contact the cruise line.
That's not their fault.
And they just got no response.
That's not the cruise's fault.
The ship has to leave.
Do y'all work for Norwegian
no,
cruise
No, the
lines?
Ship has to leave at a certain time. Man.
You corporate stands.
It's like 2 people for an entire
ship. There's 6,000 people on that ship, man. They can't wait. And also, you have to pay the ship lines have to pay port and docking and extra fees on top of that. So they have to go, and then, yes, they tried to get them back on a ship, but there's liability issues on loading somebody onto a ship out at sea that wasn't scheduled.
This is
as
so
well.
Common, and you see this. I mean, you really do see this happen a lot. I think that this is just getting national or bigger coverage because she's in a wheelchair and the guy
and
has
sucks.
A heart condition. Put a motor on the wheelchair and have the guy with the heart condition hold on. Get him back to shore, man. I think
problem
it's going to be fine.
Solved.
That's a wrap. Well, it's about time.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Show on social media at Dave and Mahoney.
At Dave and Mahoney.
They're everywhere.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram.
Listen anytime and on demand at DaveandMahoney.com.